when Stuart Mandel or anybody else goes after somebody in Arkansas, I usually pay attention. A pretty serious berating, critical, whatever you want to say.
There's some venom in it. It's well written. It's well documented. But there's a little venom in there.
On the night of December 1st, 2012, Brett Bielema could do no wrong. It says it goes on to talk about the 70-31 route of Nebraska, which, look, anybody who beats up Nebraska, I'm a huge fan. 14 humbling months later, Bielema's reputation has taken a considerable hit, says Mandel. With some rebuilding, while some rebuilding was expected on the heels of the 2012 season, the Razorbacks went 3-9 last fall. We know that. He says, this is where it gets ugly. He compares them to two guys you don't want to be compared to. With Lane Kiffin now muzzled as a member of Nick Saban's staff at Alabama, Bielema is well on his way to replacing him as college football's most reviled figure. That seems to be a bit of a stretch.
That's an overstatement.
Yeah.
Big Ten fans already well aware of the coach's penchant for foot-and-mouth moments, but insinuating that Urban Meyer broke recruiting rules upon his arrival at Ohio State, as Bielema did in early 2012. Again, I have no problem with anybody poking at Urban Meyer or Nebraska.
Nope.
Seems trivial compared with milking another program's tragedy to push for a proposed rule change. Last Thursday was pretty rough.
That's overstating it, though. He didn't milk it.
He didn't milk it. He did use an example that was not applicable in an argument that is not... is not really.
No, he didn't use the kid's name, right? I mean,
no, but it was an allusion to
right,
it
yeah,
to the point where he felt like he had to apologize.
Yeah,
and his contention was, and he was misinformed. The kid was working out too hard because of hurry up offenses, no huddle offenses.
Well,
that's his argument. It's not the case, but nevertheless, it was not a good move. The problem is he's continued down this path of arguing for something that has no basis in fact.
I can't imagine that rule passing.
No, it won't. And no. It won't make the table. Calhoun has already said, I think he's the Air Force coach, he said, you know, basically, until I see some facts, we're not voting on it. It ain't going to get voted on. There is nothing to back it up, and there's only a very small... here's the thing. When Will Muschamp is the voice of reason on a topic, I know it needs to go away. And his point this week was, it is not about safety one way or the other. It's about what is good for your program and what you think is going to best benefit you. And that is the most true statement that's been made when it comes to the hurry-up offense.
He said that?
Yes.
You're right. That's the most honest evaluation of this whole thing.
There is no doubt. And when you look at the data, as we did last week with the college football matrix guy, the data is there that points out it is not a valid point. More concerning should be, and I just read a book about concussions that Jason Peterson gave me that was written by a local woman. It's a fantastic read. It's scary as heck if you got a kid that plays contact sports. Nevertheless, the bigger, stronger guys are the ones that are much more worrisome than teams running a whole bunch of plays. Bielema's current arc, as we go on with the story, is reminiscent of another previously successful coach whose stock plummeted upon moving to a new conference. Michigan's Rich Rodriguez went 3-9 in his first season in Ann Arbor in 2008, and while the Wolverines improved each year thereafter, he could never shake that nightmarish initial impression. His ugly divorce from West Virginia, followed by an NCAA investigation into practice hour violations, did not help his cause. The only interesting thing about that was I was like, well, if you're practicing too much, you're not doing it right, because you guys aren't winning very many games.
It's one thing. There's definitely a change from going, and it's in that article too, about how everything he says is going to be magnified 10 times. Whatever he could have said the same thing at Wisconsin. It's just not going to hold as much. It's not going to carry.
Well, Wisconsin, he had 3 conference championships. He's coming off a 3-9 season. So nationally, not necessarily locally, nationally, he has no credibility.
Right. Mm-hmm. 3 conference championships, 3 victories.
Right.
There's a pretty big gap in between those two accomplishments,
right.
Yes?
Let Nick Saban speak up for his rule.
Right. And you notice he's been mum on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he hasn't had to.
And it's his rule.
Yeah, and he's got enough things working in his favor. We don't need to do his dirty work for him in the PR department, too.
I agree.
Anyway, I hope he doesn't talk about it anymore. I don't know if he will or not.
He won't.
But I am still, again, don't forget at the end of the day, I'm a fan of his. I'm a believer in his. I think the concept is good. I think it's going to take a little longer than maybe some other folks with the quick fix would have done. But I'm excited about the future. I think they're going to do a good job.
If I could give Brett some advice right now, it would be disappear till March 15th when spring practice starts.
Couldn't agree more, and I imagine he probably will. There's no benefit to being public.
Can you suspend yourself during the offseason?
For a week.
How many times are you going to have to say, I've already said all I'm going to say on that topic?
Yeah.
Because he's going to get asked about it in spring. He's going to get asked about it at the SEC meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Asked about it at the spring football meetings. He's going to, or the fall football meetings. He's going to get asked about it at the beginning of fall camp. He'll probably get asked about it before the first game. He'll get, because, again, they're playing Auburn in the first game. And, again, where it becomes the most apparent issue is with Auburn's offense, which is also in Saban's head, which is why he's talking about it.
You know, we talked about this yesterday on overtime. The biggest problem Arkansas had last year was its defense. No
right.
wonder he's concerned about it. I mean, they had LSU beat. The guy had to go, what, 98 yards
yeah.
in 2 minutes? And they let him.
But
a freshman.
His offense was on the field not very long most of the year last year, too, which is also an issue.
Sure.
So,
can you really put a finger on exactly what the problem was?
No.
Yeah.
There were a lot of problems.
There were
plenty of blame
to
go around. I do think they addressed their issues, hopefully, from a personnel standpoint. I don't expect a significant gain in wins this coming year. Do you?
No, I expect them to be much improved, but it may not show up in the wins and losses.
That's what he said about the basketball team this year. They are much improved over last year.
Oh, yeah.
But they haven't won a lot more games.
This is Mike's best team.
Yeah.
And next year will be even better. That I believe.
Yeah.
Don't disagree. We're going to talk, I guess we can talk now about it, because Wally's going to be out of here in about 35 minutes. What do you expect if they win tomorrow? What's your highest hope? If they don't win tomorrow, is there a snowball's chance outside of winning the SEC tournament?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they're looking at the NIT. And if the fans don't support it, they'll have to go on the road. But because that's what the NIT is all about. And I don't think you're allowed to turn it down anymore now that it belongs to the NCAA. And it's you play whoever sells the most tickets. Like if Arkansas State got on a run here and got an NIT bid, and they said they could sell out the Convocation Center, 8,000,
uh-huh.
and Arkansas only sold 5,000, then they'd be on their way to Jonesboro.
That would be interesting.
For me, it's about this
We'd
team playing in postseason.
That ain't gonna happen though. I don't think they've got a good enough record to get in the NIT.
The NIT? I think they'll get in the NIT.
ASU?
No, ASU.
I don't think
ASU
has a good enough record to get in the
NIT.
Well,
I mean, if they continue to win.
But theoretically. Yeah, I guess.
If they made the finals of their tournament.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Saturday's a big step in the right direction.
Yep.
They played. They did play Lyon College, I guess. Was it last night? And won by like 40. I guess they're just trying to stay loose.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do. Some Keithley Service Company live fan feedback. Kev says, NCAA Competition Committee, Calhoun actually said, get some facts, then come back and see me. I think that's the wrong Calhoun. I'm talking about Troy. Kev says, Patrick. The answer's right in your face. Simply show up for the early walkthrough shoot-around under the guise of offering best wishes and congratulations and challenge Marshall Henderson to a shootout with DeShuda. Crush his confidence like you've done so many high school kids. Then everything he touches, every time he touches the ball, yell, shoot it. You'll be so in his head that he won't. What do you say?
I think he thrives off that.
Okay, you said you got a note from somebody that was good idea as far as a sign. We've been talking about it. Pat's going to the Ole Miss game tonight. If Marshall Henderson makes a single three, he becomes the all-time leader in consecutive games with at least one three-pointer made, breaking Pat Bradley's SEC record. They're tied right now at 60. Pat told us a story yesterday, well, I don't know if you heard or not, about how his streak was broken. He was late for a bus, and he had to sit the first half of a trip to Puerto Rico against, was it American University?
Oh, no.
Ooh, it was a bad.
Why were you late?
He made zero, because he had to go to McDonald's.
I got to get fuel for the ride.
And frankly, Big Macs have been doing him in ever since.
Yeah. It's started a big love affair.
Although he is a Wendy's guy now.
Here's a plan.
Yeah.
Immediately get a press pass that gives you access to the floor for the shoot-around before the game.
He's already got floor seats, Wally.
You get Bob Holt to knock him down, and you step on his shooting head.
Holt will just sit on him. I step all over him. I figured this guy said, because of the NFL Combine kid that left early because God told him if he did, the Seahawks would draft him. Well, this guy said you need to have the sign that says God says you should not make a three-point shot today. I mean, that would really mess with him.
That would freak him.
Are we sure he can read?
What was the what was the one we had yesterday that was pretty good?
It was, hey, Marshall, take it to the hole. Was it?
Yeah,
attack
it.
The basket.
Yes, attack the basket.
See, that's the one thing, if I could talk with him, I'd say, hey, listen, everyone knows you can shoot. What you're trying to do is prove to these NBA scouts that you can attack, you can affect the game by going to the basket every single time.
And pass.
You should have a sign that says, NBA scouts want to see you take guys off the dribble.
Boom.
It's a bit of a clunky sign.
Just true.
Then you get a t-shirt that says, NBA scout. Bam. He'll be in the Mississippi Hall of Fame at some point, I assume.
How disappointing will it be for you?
I've come to terms with it, Wally. There's not too many things I can live for these days. That was one of them.
Your accident last week had nothing to do with this, did it?
No. I had given up at that point. Tried to kill myself with some tomato soup.
This Friday, the Hall of Fame banquet. Bisque, exactly.
The bisque.
If I'm going to get burned on a bisque, it's going to be lobster, not tomato.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Don't try. Don't knock until you try, big guy.
The Hall of Fame banquet is Friday night. If you don't have a ticket already, you can't go because it is sold out. However, as much as I want to see Ken Duke and David Basel inducted.
Well, now, hold on.
I'll sell my seat for a couple hundy.
I was going to say, yeah.
Well, the boss actually bought the table, but he won't care. He won't notice if I'm
he
there or not.
He won't know the difference.
We have three tables from
Signal
Media.
Your wife might know the difference. But
do you think that there aren't about a million people she'd rather sit next to than me? I'll just let you settle up next to her, Pally.
Well, the big guy will laugh all day. I may even buy her a ciabatta bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's.